Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
And I'd like to welcome onto the show right now, Director of the Centre for Brain Research up in Auckland. It is Richard Frawl. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us on the show. Now, so you're the Director of the Centre for Brain Research.
Yes.
Now, when did that begin? It's quite a young organisation, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it began last year. It formally was launched last year, November last year. But in fact, we've been sort of building towards this over many years to bring all the brain researchers together in the university and to coordinate them with, you know, the doctors in the hospital, the neurosurgeons and neurologists and geriatricians who look after people with brain disease, and to coordinate them with the people and the organisations in the community, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's, epilepsy. So there's three pillars to the centre, you see, and that's what's unique about it, and that's what's very special about it.
And so the three pillars being research, medical practitioners, and organisations.
Yep, the researchers in the university, the specialist doctors in the hospitals, and the community organisations and families who are, in fact, the, you know, we exist to try and make them and give them a better life. And that's what the university is all about. So, say the three pillars of wisdom, you see.
Must be, and I can imagine, it's very hard to pull. Those are some giant organisations that you have
to get
everyone on board.
You don't do this overnight, but we've really developed this over 20 years or so, because as research has developed at the University of Auckland, and we've gone into human brain research, and the families have actually, they were the ones who initiated this by asking us to look at the brains of their loved ones after death to see if they died of Huntington's disease, a tragic genetic disease.
Yeah, because that gets passed on. So I guess a lot of family members wanted to know if it was still alive and well in their genetic stream, did they?
Well, they just want to know whether or not this was started before the gene was available for testing, but we knew it was a genetic disease, and they wanted to know, do we have the gene in the family? So they asked us to look at the brains of their mum and dad when they died. Would we do this and let them know? And then they said, well, you keep the brain, you do research on it, and you make sure that you give a better life to our kids. And that's how it started. And so we just built up over the years with a human brain bank, with working closely with the doctors in the hospital, because we needed more information, you see, on each brain.
Yeah.
The people, when they were treated in the hospital, we need to know those symptoms. We need to go, and we go back to the families. We tell them what the results have been. We ask them for more information when we need it, because things crop up which we didn't expect. And so it's a developing partnership. If we were to sit down and try and develop this centre, I call it the All Blacks Centre for Brain Research, really, because we're trying to bring all these experts together, you see. If we try to develop it de novo, it would be almost an impossible job. So we had to have done this background work to get it off the ground.
So people donate to you their brains for you to poke and prod and research. So you want disease brains and good brains.
Yeah, it's mainly we because of all the technical problems, we mainly accept from the Auckland region in order to get them relatively soon after death. But we never ever ask, or we never say we never go out to the community and say, please donate your brains. We just go out and talk to the associations of families, tell them what we're doing, and it's a family decision. If they are interested, they will approach us. And that relationship is a very, very special one. And it's got to be jealously guarded and looked after and nurtured, because the brain is the most special organ in the human body. You know, I'm a little biased because I spent 35 years looking at it, but nevertheless, it is who we are, it's what we are, and our whole potential in life. I mean, if I asked you what's your most valuable asset, hopefully you would say your human brain. You know?
I would say my brain.
Absolutely. Because without that, you're literally nothing.
I close my eyes and I imagine what the brain bank looks like. Are they in jars, or do you have a room, or can
No, we have, when we receive the brain, they're very carefully processed and blocked down into all the various functional regions and divisions, and they're carefully coded and numbered. It's like a big, if you imagine the brain was a big Lego block, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we take all the blocks apart and so that we store them and process them and keep them in minus 80 freezer all together for each particular brain, and they're coded, and we go back and take sections from the part which is involved, say, with movement or with memory or with whatever, and we keep that tissue preserved forever so that we can keep going back and asking new questions as new ideas and new questions come up and new research technologies are developed, you see.
How many brains do you have?
Oh, we probably, you know, it's, we probably have, we do have over four, tissue from over 400, but this is not a, like a stock exchange. We don't actually have a running total, you know. Right. This has to be treated in a very sensitive and ethical way, and you know, we can't accept every bequest, unfortunately. We have quite a small organisation, but the tissue we do receive is jealously guarded, and you know, we say we're the guardians of the tissue for the families, and the families are just so incredibly supportive. And you know, one particular family put it in a nutshell. They said, you know, it's like Dad lives forever, and that he's making a contribution in death which he never had the opportunity to make in life. You know, yeah. when you hear comments like that, you suddenly realise that keeps your feet on the ground, that keeps you humble. And when you realise there's 1 in 5 people in New Zealand going to be affected by a brain disease, and the huge impact, you know, Alzheimer's, we've got 41,000 people affected by Alzheimer's today. And 2050 is going to be, you know, treble that amount. So, there's plenty of work out there.
Richard, I was going to say, the brain's still a big mystery, yep. I guess, because it's so complicated. You were involved in making a discovery that the rest of the brain scientists around the world said, that can't exist. Didn't you discover that, was it the neuron superhighway or something like that?
Well, yeah, what we found was, we found that the human brain, we've known for years, you see, that the animal brains, the rat brain, in their adult lives, they still have stem cells in their brain left over from when they were an embryo, and they keep making new brain cells through life in the rat, cat and monkey, but it was never believed that these were present in the human brain. So we were one of the groups who, in fact, showed that for the first time, but showed the pathway that these cells take as they pass down through the brain towards the olfactory bulb, and so and demonstrate that they can make new brain cells. So we actually, and it was the tissue which was gifted to us so generously, which enabled us to make this discovery. We found this literally by accident when we noticed that the regions of the brain which contain stem cells in the rat, the equivalent areas in the human, were enlarged, were bigger than what we see in the you know, we saw this enlarged in the diseased brain, in the Huntington's brain. So that set our mind thinking, and ultimately over 10 years we have turned the idea around that the human brain, you know, it does change. It can make new brain cells throughout the whole of its new adult life. You know,
so before then it was the idea that once you hit your 20s,
yep.
You just start rotting away, deteriorating. But people, they poo-hooed that idea, didn't they? They didn't believe you to start with.
No. Yeah, they yeah, with the first lot of referees that we went out to, they gave us a hard time when it went to Nature. But you know, when you're making a change, you know, I always liken the story to Galileo when he said, you know, well, actually, the sun doesn't go around the earth, it's the other way around, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, he was put under house arrest for the rest of his life, and he was only pardoned about 10
Same
years ago.
Old Copernicus, hard life.
And and when you make a new discovery, or of course you're going to run into obstacles, but it's when you think of it, it's the most logical thing, because when, you know, every day, like we're talking today, I'm telling you some things perhaps you don't realize before, so I'm changing your memory. I'm giving you new things to store in your brain. So your brain is changing. And so the idea that the brain is immutable, does not change, is really the most biggest load of garbage under the sun.
Yeah, that's right. You're a brain masseur.
And the other thing is that when people suffer from diseases, tragic diseases like stroke, you know, there's virtually a stroke every hour in New Zealand, well, you know, people, and there is a chance for recovery there. There's new developments which are taking place which show, you know, you can recover for 5 to 10 years after a stroke if you're given the right rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the major things we're doing with our top-class clinicians and scientists here at the Centre for Brain Research is trying to see if we can develop a brain recovery clinic where we can actually promote recovery for patients with stroke and other diseases.
Richard,
and developing new techniques for doing that.
Richard, it's been a pleasure talking, but I guess it's not very easy for you to get your hands on Christchurch brains.
Well,
people want to give them to you.
We accept tissue. We've had very generous donations from people in Christchurch in the South Island. particularly, we mainly take those where there is a major genetic reason that the families would like to have it analysed, and this refers really to Huntington's brains. And in special circumstances, we do get other bequests, but for practical reasons these days, and with the DHBs and the way things are run, it becomes very difficult sometimes to accept from a cold country. So we really concentrate on the Auckland area. But, of course, our knowledge is knowledge for all New Zealanders.
Yeah. Hey, Richard, been a pleasure talking. Keep up the good work.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, okay, and all the very best.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. That is Richard Froll, the Director of the Centre for Brain Research.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.